We're going to be in John chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8. But as Steve just read for us, what a wonderful birth that we got to hear about just now. The birth of a king. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And this was a sign to these shepherds that he would go and they would go and find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. What a wonderful birth that is. Now, I would love to focus on that, and tonight we're probably going to focus more on that in our lesson and our devotional time. And I already told Steve I'm very sorry for the scripture reading tonight, but he is going to have to muster through the genealogy in Matthew. So if you want to come hear somebody read those particular names in Matthew about the genealogy of Jesus, feel free to come back tonight at 5 o'clock, and we'll be talking about that. But because of this message we have in Luke chapter 2, because there was a baby born, because there was a king born, we have the opportunity to be born again. I think Peter said it best when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. And it's being reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through the faith for our salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Notice the importance of this message. God has caused us to be born again. Because of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16, because a king was born, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope, this inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled. Now, I want to use that particular message of being born again and see how John will define it in his gospel account through the words of Jesus, through what Jesus had to tell to this man named Nicodemus. So we're going to be focused on this particular message of being born again. And what does that particularly mean for us? And how can we apply that in our life today? Now, here's the particular text we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to be really trying to dive in and look at some of these words and try to figure out how all of this connects. Now, if you've ever seen the show The Chosen, I think they do a really, really, really cool job of displaying this particular scene between Nicodemus and Jesus in this special conversation that we are so now thankful we get to go and see and hear and read what happened during this conversation. Notice with me. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Well, Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Well, Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.'" Now, I want you to notice how I had that broken down for you. Really have the scene that happens in verses 1 and 2. We're understanding what is going on, where they're at, what time it is, and what's being taught, and who's a part of this teaching. Then we have this particular message that Jesus is giving to Nicodemus about being born again. And you'll also have Nicodemus saying, "What in the world are you talking about?" And then you have the solution to all of this. What does this exactly mean? What does this exactly look like? And we'll find what that message is in verses 6 through 8. So let's look at this scene at the very beginning. Notice, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. If you were to jump down to verse 10 in chapter 3, you would notice that he is a teacher of Israel. He was a prominent man, somebody very well known. I mean, even being a Pharisee alone would have been a big deal. But there was something more about Nicodemus. He was special. He was a teacher. He knew the scriptures. He knew God's word. But also notice another description about him. He was a ruler of the Jews, okay? We have a big deal kind of guy coming to talk to Jesus. Somebody very important, wanting to have a question answered that he had, wanting to have this special conversation with him. So now he came to Jesus by night. And you may have heard lessons on this before. Why did Nicodemus have to come by night? Imagine being this man, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee, a teacher, somebody very prominent. If he was to go and make this daytime appearance, having this conversation with this revolutionary Jesus that was going around and performing signs and miracles and having this teaching about this new kingdom that's coming, how would that make the Jews feel? If they were going to see one of their leaders, one of their rulers, going and seemingly being persuaded by this Jesus. You see, that's why Nicodemus had to go by night. He didn't want to be seen by people. He wanted to be in the darkness. Notice then what he calls him. He calls him Rabbi. Another name for master or teacher or professor. Isn't it interesting to find that Nicodemus, who was this teacher of the Jews, is looking to Jesus and saying, teacher, a guy I'm learning from, I'm hearing your messages. Maybe Nicodemus was on the outskirts of Jesus's teaching. Maybe he was just trying to hear just a little bit of what he had to say. And so he comes to him and he says, teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. What a remarkable statement. But he doesn't stop there. Notice what he says. This is how he knows he's come from God. He says, for no one can do these signs, these miracles, these wonders, as John will put in his gospel account, no one can do these unless they are from God, unless God is with him. See, this would have been a typical statement that Jesus' followers made. And from just this particular part of the conversation, you would think that Nicodemus may have been considered to be one of the apostles by how he was talking. But he was simply a ruler of the Jews that had some questions. He wanted to have this special time, this intimate time to talk to Jesus, to figure him out, to kind of get an understanding of who this man is. And so after he makes this statement about no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him, notice how Jesus points back to God. He says in verse 3, and Jesus answered him and said to him, truly, truly, okay? Whenever you see Jesus say truly, truly, those are those times where you get that big old highlighter out and really make sure you understand what he's about to say. Notice he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again. That word there for being born again is this word anothen, which means born from above, right? John the Baptist will talk about that which is born of above. That's the one he's pointing to, the one who's come from heaven. That's the guy you should be looking to. I'm going to go away, but he's going to increase, right? Unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice, Jesus is going to bring up two instances of the kingdom of God here. The first time he's going to talk about how you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you have been born from above. And the next time he's going to talk about how you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born from above. So Nicodemus, I guess logically, if we could all put ourselves in Nicodemus' shoes, right? We're thinking, let's go in and put ourselves in a Jewish mindset. And all of a sudden, this guy just tells me, you need to be born again. You need to be born from above. I think we would have the same questions that Nicodemus has, right? How can a man be born when he is whole? That's logical, right? That would be a very understandable statement that we would ask. Then he also asks, and he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he? You see, where was Nicodemus's mind at? He was on the fleshly world. He was thinking very physical things. He was focused on this whole idea of how can I go back and this doesn't even make sense what you're talking about, because he was focused on the physical. But see, Jesus was coming and letting him know, no, this is not a physical thing. This is something spiritual that's happening. I'm trying to help switch your mindsets from thinking so physically to help you thinking spiritually, right? And so he goes on to explain himself. He says, okay, Jesus answered and says, truly, truly, there's another one of those important statements. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus does a lot of really great teachings throughout his ministry. And what's interesting about John and his account, you have a lot of these sayings where he really tries to show you that there is one thing and there's also another thing that's required, right? Because if you think about it, in John chapter 4, as Jesus is having this conversation with this Samaritan woman at the well, how can you be a true worshiper of God? By worshiping God in spirit and in truth. You see, he does a lot of these two lesson things here. And he notice what being born from above means. It means being born of water and the Spirit. And unless you have done those things, you cannot enter into the reign of God. God cannot be in your life. You cannot have God be your master unless you've been born of water and of the Spirit. I think Paul says it best in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and maybe this could be a cross-reference for you. Notice, he saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness. In other words, there's no way I can work my way into salvation, right? But according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, that would be born of water, and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That would be being born of the Spirit. You see, I can get in that water right there. This is a baptistry behind me. I can get in that water and be born of water and never be born of the Spirit. Well, how would you know that? Well, he's going to explain to us in just a second. How could I look at someone's life and say, okay, maybe you got into a baptistry and came out wet. I don't know if you were truly born again, though. I don't know if you were truly born from above, because there is a spiritual transformation that should also happen when there is a death in the water. When you were to go into the water and have your sins washed away, you're to come out a new person. You are to come out a person who is looking to be transformed. Well, how can I know that? Well, Jesus is going to let us know. Look, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. If you're going to be a fleshly person, it will be seen. We will know that. If you're going to be in the world, we are going to know by your actions. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If there has been a transformation in somebody's life, aren't we going to know it? You've probably been around numerous people, maybe your children, maybe people that you've had studies with, maybe you've seen people coming to this church building. When you see somebody born of the Spirit, when somebody's gone through this transformation after going through baptism in water and they come out and all of a sudden it's like, that's a totally new person. That's what that transformation is. That's when somebody's truly been born of the Spirit. Notice he goes on to say, don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born from above or born again. Notice, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, he knew this Jewish man, this teacher, this ruler of the Jews was going to really struggle with this whole physical concept, right? He was going to struggle trying to take this physical concept of being born again and trying to spiritualize it, but that's why he lets him know, look, the wind blows and you have no idea where it comes from and where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. One commentator wrote this, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects. You can't see the Spirit, but you can see the life someone is living that has been born of the Spirit. That's what he's trying to say. You can tell who's been born of water and of the Spirit. You can tell someone who is on this path for transformation. Okay, well, how can I tell? What can I look for? What are some fruits or what are some effects? All right, don't we have the fruits of the Spirit? We sing it to our kids. We have that fun song. Those are those effects. That's how you know someone's been born of the water and of the Spirit. Because they will have peace in their hearts. Ephesians 2 will talk about the peace that Christ offers us because we're no longer Gentiles and Jews, but he broke down that wall of hostility so we could be one. We can have that peace. We become a child of God. We are saved. We become selfless people because we're trying to have the mind of Christ that we see in Philippians 2, 5 through 11. We're obedient. If you were to go to the very end of John 3, 36, or in John chapter 3, verse 36, you'll notice that John will let us know that belief and obedience are synonymous. You see, because I put my trust in Jesus, I will want to do what he says. If I have been transformed, if I have gone into the waters of baptism, come out, had my sins washed away, don't you want to be obedient to the guy that made that possible? You see, that's what being transformed is all about. There's those love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Those are those ways we can tell people have been born again. Not that I'm judging them, not that I'm looking to them and saying, ooh, you haven't been born again yet because you're not doing this. But can't you tell who has really tried to change their lives? Who has looked to God's word and said, I want to follow this? Because that Jesus went to the cross. Because, as Blake was saying, he loved us this much. I want to change my life for him. I want to stop being that guy I was before I went into the waters of baptism. And I know there's going to be some struggles. And I know there's going to be times where we don't feel like we are worthy of our salvation. But we need to understand, we need to keep moving forward. We need to keep transforming each and every day. Keep moving, keep going, keep trying to live in obedience to God. Now, we have our exercise time. Now, we're not going to get up and exercise. This is where you pull out that bulletin of yours or that order of worship, and you'll notice in there's some questions, because I want to talk to you and I want you to reminisce a little bit on your story of being born again. You don't have to share this with anybody, but I would encourage you to, because I'm about to share to you mine and Heather's particular time where we became born again. You see, Heather and I don't know if you can read this, we both filled these out. And we like to always talk to people about this because some people don't understand. I wasn't raised in the Lord's church. I became a Christian in 2015, okay? And the way that I was coming to understanding God's word, I was brought into a family's home. I worked for them on their big cattle ranch in Northwest Oklahoma, and they brought me in. And they taught me, and from their life and from their weirdness, I was able to say, hey, there's something about y'all that I want. There's something that in your life that I want to figure out what it is. And so I would ask them subtle questions. They would try to invite me to church, even though there was some crazy excuses that I would come with. They would keep inviting me and keep introducing me to times. I would pray with them before every meal. They would always pray together, and they even let me live in their house. That was really cool too, right? And so I got to see what their life was like. Ultimately, I read a book called Muscle and a Shovel. Now, that book is not what saved me, but it was the scriptures that are in there. I started reading them for myself. I started looking in them and saying, okay, this makes sense. What I knew growing up didn't ever really take, because I was like, I see this, but it doesn't really make sense to me. But this started to. And I started to figure things out. And then I met a girl who lived in Florida named Heather. And we would have conversations together, and we were both going on this same journey where we were starting to ask each other questions because neither of us were raised in the Lord's church. And so we had lots of questions. We wanted to know what this was about. What is all this talk of these steps of salvation? I've never heard of that. What are all these different things? And so we wanted to figure it out for ourselves. And what was really cool, one of the fondest memories I have, and maybe this was making my life a little simpler, was on February 7th, I got engaged to Heather in 2015. Up on top of a mesa in northwest Oklahoma. Then the very next day, it was a Sunday, I was like, you know, I think it's time for me to be baptized. I wanted to be born again because I knew the type of guy I was before that time. And I knew that guy was not going to be washed of sins. I knew that guy was not worthy of God and to be in his presence. And from all the studying I've been doing, I said, it's time for me to take this step. And so on a Sunday afternoon, I went to one of my boss's homes. He had a pond behind his house. Now you're thinking, Northwest Oklahoma in February, that was probably a bad idea, but it was warm that day. I don't know why. But we went into this pond, and I was baptized by who I consider a father of mine, a guy who helped me understand what the truth is all about. His name is Clint Olson. Y'all will probably see him every now and then come and visit us with his wife. We consider them our mom and dad, pretty much. And it was just so amazing to be a part of that, but I knew that wasn't where it stopped. I knew that I needed to keep going because the day before I'd already told a woman that I want to be your husband. So I knew that I had to keep transforming. I knew that I had to keep being different because I wanted to be that person who was born, not just of water. I didn't want to just go in that pond and leave my sins there and go and just go back to who Matt used to be. I wanted to be changed. And then in Heather, as we've been married for about a year and a half, there was a night where I came home from baling hay somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and I come home at 9:30 at night, and she's crying there holding Georgia, who's 4 months old, and says, I need to be born again. I need to be baptized. I am not in a spiritual state that I want to be in this life. And so at 9:30 at night, I called my family, my spiritual family out there, and I said, hey, Heather wants to be baptized. And they rushed to that church building, and we got there. And this is one of those funny stories. I looked to an elder and a deacon of the church, and I said, so which one of y'all are going to baptize her? And they said, we're not. You are. Most terrifying thing I've ever done in this life. And you may say, well, why is that? Because I was getting to be a part of something that is special. And so we went in there, and Georgia is screaming her head off in the pews and watching this and witnessing it. And it was a wonderful moment. And from that day forward, we said, we want to know everything. We want to be transformed. We want to figure all of this out. Because that's what Jesus says is being born again. Don't just go into the water, but be transformed. Be born of the Spirit as well. I hope that you'll take that sheet home and fill it out this afternoon and keep it in your Bible. That way, you know, maybe your kids are growing up and they look and they say, wow, this is mom and dad's being born again story. This is so cool. This is the date. This is who did it. This is what happened. There's a funny little snippet about what happened. Have that message. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that message yet. You haven't been born again. You haven't gone into the waters of baptism, have your sins washed away to live a new life. You can't fill this sheet out. Because if you notice at the very bottom, there's an opportunity to answer no. But I don't want you to leave here without expressing this idea that you want to know more. Maybe you're not sold this morning on being born again yet, but you have questions. I would love to sit down and study with you. There are other people here that would love to do the same thing. And if that's the case, feel free to catch me after worship service and let me know. I would love to sit down with you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've been doing some studying, you've been doing some searching, and you're ready at this point to put on Christ in baptism, to be born again. What a great morning that would be. We just ask that if you have a need this morning, whatever it may be, whether prayers or rather to be put on Christ in baptism, come while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.